Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio, for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, Russ, K5TUX, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, hello everybody and welcome. You have tuned in to episode number 540 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. And this episode is going to be our deep dive episode. And as we have done once or twice on this show before, we are going to take a deep dive into ourselves, so to speak. But before we do that, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves for the on assignment this week. Cheryl, W5MOO. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
All right. So, yeah. So we're not going to be tooting our own horns or anything like that. But Linux in the Ham Shack Ubuntu distribution is a little bit long in the tooth. It's based on 20.2.04. So it is an LTS, of course. So it will be viable for some time to come yet. However, the Ubuntu community is imminently getting ready to release 24.04, the very next long-term support solution, which is, what the hell is it called? Something with an M? Mystic? Or is that the other
Manic
one? Is that the last one?
Manic is the last one, yeah. So
right, so something with an N, and I'd be hard-pressed to tell you exactly what that is at this point. But anyway, we are looking to build a new version, and this is going to be sort of an open discussion with the folks who are in the chat and between Bill and myself about what we're thinking about including in this newest distribution, and hopefully it'll be all rolled into an ISO and ready for distribution at Hamvention. That is the goal. I've already started putting together a build script for our Cubic utility, not our utility, but the Cubic utility that we build with, and I guess we're going to discuss packages. And if anybody in the chat has any ideas about what they want to see in the build, that would be particularly helpful. So I guess we'll start with the big thing that's going to be in it is, of course, the Ham Radio Pure Blend, because that's where a whole bunch of stuff is. Are we going to go through and talk about each of these things individually or what?
No, I think we kind of need to talk about like our process in which, well, I guess a little bit about the Ham Radio Pure Blend, like the items that we're actually going to be turning off in order to make the distribution sound, which we did in the previous one as well. This includes, I believe, SVX Link. And what is the other?
Radio TRX.
Yeah, Radio TRX. Only because it destroys the sound system for the entire system.
We don't know if that's truly the case for 24.04, though. We might have to test that and see before we start disabling it.
Yeah, it's been true in every version up to 23.10. So it, I'm sitting here looking at a brand new 23.10 installation that I just kind of did in preparation for this episode. And yeah, I'm looking at a dummy sound device as my only sound device.
Wonderful. And I think somebody was typing what they want in the distribution as like while I was speaking.
Yeah.
Because David's already put in there that he wants to see some sort of remote desktop control, either RDP, VNC, or Guacamole, or something that works out of the box. That is going to be a task, but we are going to write it down. Did we write it down?
We have not put that in the list yet, but
I'm going to do that right now. RDP, VNC, Guacamole,
or
something that just works. That's right. We could put no machine. What's the other one? Rust desk.
Yes. Now, I haven't tested Rust desk, so I can't confirm that.
Rust desk?
Yes. Like Rust, the language.
Rust desk.
All one word, I think.
What about since we're talking and just spitballing things here, tail scale?
Well, I mean, we could install it.
You just end user, right?
Yeah, end user still has to enable it with the tail scale up and stuff like that. But yeah, we could install it so it has the latest package reference so it can get updated and whatnot.
Right. We can also include like a, you know, like a, not a change log, but a, like, you know, installation. These are the things, maybe a pop-up. Can you do pop-ups?
Ooh, yeah, I think we can. That gets into some of the gory details of actually building a distribution and having that stuff actually pop up when you run the live disk. So essentially, the whole idea behind this is that we want everything to sort of work in the live disk because we want people to be able to try stuff out on their computers. And that's the whole purpose. Whether or not they actually use the ISO as their installation or not, I think is completely optional. But it at least gives you a framework for what you can do within the context of the system.
Yeah, fair enough. So primarily focus on the live version, and then the installation is sort of the afterthought. And a good question, again, from Dave. Desktop environment. We did use the GNOME version last time. Do we want to continue to do that, or do we want to do like install multiple ones and make GNOME default but have ability to use others, or what?
Well, I think last time we did build it on the GNOME version, but we also built a Zubuntu version, so that would cover the XFCE, so you'd have a lighter desktop. And I think if we have the build script pretty solid, we should be able to generate both ISOs without a tremendous amount of effort. Once you get into the customization of the actual desktop itself, whether that be a pop-up or backdrop or whatever, those do require a little extra configuration stuff that's a little out of the norm. And we'd have to research each one of those just to ensure that we have the right settings so that, you know, the LHS backdrop pops up and everything else like that. Totally possible. It all depends on the release date of the ISO for the base image and time for us to do it all.
Do you want to have two different distributions, one based on Zubuntu and one based on Ubuntu, or try and put them both in one?
Well, I say we shoot for the default Ubuntu for sure. So we guarantee that we'll try to have that one out, because customizing GNOME is pretty easy and we've already had history in doing that. The second one would, I think, if we can do a second for a stretch goal, it would be Zubuntu so we can have an XFCE version. But I wouldn't mess with the LXQt or the LXDE just because I don't know if Lubuntu is going to be out in time. And I'm not terribly familiar with that desktop environment, but we could definitely do a Zubuntu build, because I think you kind of want to play and build one yourself too. So maybe you could work on the standard build and I'll work on the Zubuntu build.
Okay, that works for me. So I'm gonna address a question that we always get at Hamvention, and we should probably talk about it now before we get there. And that is, does it work on Raspberry Pi? Are we going to try and do a Pi build?
No. That's a whole nother bag of worms and stuff like that. I mean, that would be nice, but, you know, that's not really... I don't think you should use a Raspberry Pi for a desktop, and we're really talking about desktop Linux.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should, you know, while we're thinking about this, we should come up with an answer, though, because there are, of course, you know, Ubuntu builds for Pi. They're not... I don't think there's much in the way of ham radio specific ones. Is there a build for Dragon OS for Pi? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he has a build for that. Ham Pi come obviously is for Pi first.
Right.
So there are already Pi builds for that. So I don't think for our purposes for Hamvention, because we're not displaying Raspberry Pi at all. We're only going to be displaying desktop Linux on a PC, well, multiple PCs. I don't think that's what we should provide.
Okay. Fair enough.
I would never suggest anyone actually using a Raspberry Pi as their shack computer. Sorry. For all you people that are actually using that, I just don't think it's powerful enough. Not with these band conditions and this many decodes and JTDX and everything else. Raspberry Pi is, you know, doesn't handle like deep signal detection and stuff like that. And you know, only on some of the SDR apps does it perform well enough to where it doesn't look like it's throttling from thermal conditions and stuff like that. Plus, the availability of Pi is not terribly stellar. And, you know, for the price, you can get a nice miniature computer, a mini Intel box or something like that, that'll run circles around it.
True enough. Although, like I said I don't know, a few episodes back, the Pi 4s are definitely still available at Micro Centers if you've got one near you.
Have at them.
Yeah, exactly.
I would not put one anywhere where I cared actually turns on the next day. Yeah.
Oh, you still got that thing where you had one die and now it's like all Pis are evil. Yeah, I get it.
Well, you know, when it counts and it dies, that's when I run into a problem. It's the same reason why I don't buy Western Digital hard drives anymore.
That's funny.
I bought them like 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, really? Because I found Western Digitals to be pretty solid. I stopped buying Seagates 20 years ago.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I ran into a slug of Western Digitals that died less than a year. And I was like, ugh, I'm not using these anymore.
That's the experience I had with Seagate. So interesting.
Must have been buying different branded drives or whatever, the different label drives at the time. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I think I still have a few Seagates around here somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. So the ham radio pure blend packages, of course, those will all be in there, slightly tweaked to fix some of the problems. Presumably, we're going to fix CQR log and of course the SVX link. Remote TRX thing. Was there anything else that was immediately broken? I don't recall anything else that was super bad from the original packages.
No, I don't think so. I think most of everything else worked fine out of the box. I mean, users have to be cognizant too that like versions of WSJTX and stuff like that will install their own versions of rig, you know, rig control D and stuff like that within their own directories. They shouldn't be preferenced specifically to like user bin or whatever. So it shouldn't come up that way. At least I don't think so, at least not in the packages.
Yeah, okay.
So if you happen to need something newer than what will be in the repo, which we don't have the repo versions at this point, although you've been messing around with the daily builds. Do you know what, do you have a daily build that you know what the hamlib version is?
I would have to get into the cubic on the other machine.
So this should be frozen by now. I would assume the repos are frozen.
My daily was, I don't know, from probably like two, three weeks ago. So I don't know if it was frozen then, but
it should be, because you're in RC builds now, or what was the nomenclature of the build?
Don't even recall. I'd have to look at the cubic on the other machine. So.
Yeah, it should be frozen. I'm fairly certain that the repos should be frozen at this point. They should just be tweaking final installers and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to get through the build script because there's a lot of stuff that has to be done for some of the stuff I'm adding. So, I'll address one that's actually kind of down on the list. Where'd it go? Oh, yeah. It's down below the SDR stuff. Because one of the first things I heard about the new build was from Darren, who wanted Node-RED installed. So, that was the first thing I put in. So... So at least in the build that I'm working on, the Node-RED will be available.
Yeah, some of the user paths I think will be existent in the live environment. I'm not sure. It depends on how it's installed. We have to kind of see how the installation comes together, whether or not that will override that for like the user, the whatever .local.bin or .local/bin or .local/share/app/bin or whatever various directories that they put in the user directory. Sometimes that will translate in the scale file. We'd have to put that into the scale so it ensures that a new user gets the same padding.
I'd want to do that though, make sure like /home/user/bin is in there and .local/bin, because if for no other reason, if we include things like not 1mm, which we should, that goes into .local bin. So
yeah, so we should put that in the logging, not 1mm. So that means we're also installing pipx.
Yeah,
and then we also need the PyWin keyer, which is the mate to that as well, and that gets installed via pipx as well.
Yep, and it's integrated with not 1mm. So
well, it's one of the options. You can use something else. You don't have to use PyWin keyer.
You don't have to, but isn't PyWin keyer the one that Mike wrote?
Yeah, I'm sure Mike can answer to that. He's typing right now. So how fortuitous that he's joined us this evening as we discuss this out loud without a script. This was our idea for an easy podcast because we can just talk about it out loud.
Yep, absolutely. So I did plan on including some SDR stuff because
he uses CW that? Daemon.
Doesn't even use his own software. That's nice. Leet. Write software and then use somebody else's. So the first couple of things I built in the Cubic environment were SDR Angel and SDR Plus, both of which built just fine.
Oh, nice.
I forgot about Sig Digger. So that'll definitely be an inclusion. OpenWebRx Plus, I did not even think about that, but of course I just sort of started diving into this. SDR Trunk, I'm working on that right now. That is, there's some weirdness with SDR Trunk. I got to figure out whether I want to build a version for the distro or use a pre-built one. The way that SDR Trunk builds is really weird. It uses a utility called Gradle, which is it's like a build framework for Java. And
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
So I don't know. I got to make a decision about how I want to put this together. I'm having trouble getting it to build using the Java source and the JDKs because the guy who built it used a very, very specific JDK. And I think it uses things that no other JDK has. So that being the case, I might have to include a weird JDK. So I don't know. It'll probably wind up just being easier using the binary versions, but I don't necessarily want to do that if I don't have to, but we'll see how it goes.
And who's that? David? Yeah. David mentioned HamRS app, and that is a app image. So that could easily be added to it. I know.
That means we are going to include stuff for app images.
Well, no, app images, I mean, it doesn't require anything special, right? They just
run. Yeah, no snaps, though. No snaps.
Yeah, no snaps. I was going to say, we're not going to do snaps or flat packs, as to not tweak anybody's nerves.
Bad enough using an app image. Okay, so you put in here putting in CloudLog. CloudLog, I mean, it could easily be installed because it can be pulled from the Git repo, and that's actually the easiest way to manage it. The only problem is letting people know how to sort of access it since it's a web app, and it can be a locally hosted web app, which is fine, but it does require some manual config, so not sure if that's going to make it, but we'll give it a shot because I love CloudLog.
Yeah, that's why I put extra question marks there. I mean, OpenWebRx would be the same kind of thing. It would need a website. So there would be some Apache configurations and such. So I'm not sure some of that would extrapolate out of the app, out of the actual install. It would work in live. I think we could definitely get it all working in live. But whether it would actually install when you do a full install, that would be a big question.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll, so in digital stuff here, that's all we kind of had for SDR. There may be some stuff that shows up in SDR as we think of it, but we're definitely going to try and include all this stuff. But in digital, you have JSA call and JTDX. Neither of those are in the...
I don't think so. Let's see. JSA.
I don't think JTDX is, but I thought JSA call might be.
JSA call is not in it, so...
It is not. Okay. Well, in that case, we'll have to include both of those. And then there's the thing about HamLib, because HamLib is up to like 4.6 something now.
Yeah.
And there are rigs, like the one I use, the FT710, that is different between the current release version of HamLib and the new one. So...
Yeah, and 4.55 is in the current repo for 23.10.
Are you using 4.5.5?
No, I'll tell you what version I'm using because
I'm wondering if the FT710 showed up in 4.5.5 or if it wasn't available until 4.6.
I'm using 4.5.5 actually.
Okay, can you see if there's a rig ID 1049 in your version?
1049. Yep, FT710. Yep.
Okay, good. So there's no issue there. 4.5.5 will work fine.
Yeah, it's the 2023.03.28.3 XML file that builds.
And Mike brings up a good point. Is to say, in whatever it is you're looking at, if the Qt framework is 5 or 6?
Qt6. Well, I mean, Qt6 is definitely available. And Qt6 is installed by default on 23.10. So it should be available on 24.04.
Okay. So that should work out fine. Nothing we have to do special there. Q6 is available. Okay, so logging. Qlog.
Yar.
Obviously, Qlog is not in the repos, so we're going to have to get that one. MRS. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. MariaDB. Fixing the thing with CQR log. Obviously, Xlog is going to be available from the Pure Blend. Were there any others?
For logging?
Yeah, are we going to put in stuff like TuSnack, which I think is in the repo, actually.
I think that's already there. Let's see. TuSnack is in there, yep.
What about all the TW stuff?
TW Clock, TW PSK is in there.
TWCW, TW...
I don't see CW in there.
TW Clock, did you say Clock? I think you did.
Yeah, I said Clock and PSK.
PSK. Well, there's TWCW, and I think there's a couple others. Ted will remind us what he's written. I'll just put it down here. TW Star.
TW Star.
Yeah, TW Star. So, let's see, what else?
Yeah, I don't even see TWCW in the repo.
TW HamQTH, that's a thing.
Are these published to the repo yet, Ted, or are they just out there? We can definitely add them, regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. If stuff is available, we'll definitely put it on there. You know, if we're going to have all the stuff, we might as well have all the stuff. So, I mean, let's see. All the stuff for, like, slow scan is in there. QSSTV is in the repo.
Qtel is in there, I believe. Yeah,
Qtel is part of SVX Link.
Oh, is it? Because that's Qtel is Echo Link.
Yeah, it's Echo Link. That's what SVX Link is. One's the server, one's the client.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll keep Qtel for sure.
Yeah. Maybe we should see if we can get Droid Star in there. Put that on the list.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yep, that would be a good one. Come on, guys, help us with this. Droid Star, what else? What else do people want to see? What else do people use that we haven't already talked about? I guess that's what we really need to know. Grid Tracker. Ooh, Grid Tracker. Almost forgot that. Jeez.
What's that?
Can't believe I almost skipped Grid Tracker.
That means we got to install Node on it. No, just kidding.
It's already installed for other things because Node Red uses Node. So,
oh well, yeah, there you go.
There's going to be plenty of BS like Java, JavaScript, and all that kind of stuff on the distro. It's just got to be there for some things. So,
should we install Docker as well?
Docker. I mean, we can install it, sure. It's just two packages. I mean,
yeah, but the repo packages are garbage. I wonder if the packages from Docker will be available yet. I'm assuming they probably will be within the first week, but yeah, it depends.
What about things like QEMU or KVM? Are they installed by default?
Probably not. I think for the GNOME version, you should probably just install boxes, and that'll take care of that. Highly recommend boxes for GNOME environments.
Okay.
It just works so well. So simple to use. I mean, you know, if you have a system that already builds that stuff nicely, like the Gerudo has a nice one already set up with QEMU and stuff like that using Vert Manager, that works really well. But getting that to run on a box it takes a little wiring to get it all working right, but boxes works great in a GNOME environment.
All right, very good. Yeah, suggestions for bottles, Podman.
Yeah. Well, like the thing with Docker is like we might need it for some of the packages. That's the only thing I'm thinking of. It depends. Depends on whether we get into that specifically. I mean, we could definitely install the packages so they're there and they're there on install, so you don't have to reinstall those or go out and find them.
Right.
But I would like it to have like a purpose in the live build beyond just bloating the live build too big.
Which we're already well on our way to. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to get rid of Fresh Office here just to be... LibreOffice has got to go. We don't have enough space. Because we are building on the full image, so the image is already, you know, a beefy boy coming out.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to do... Because basically, Cubic just puts the file system as is kind of on the ISO, right? So if I build all this stuff from Git repos and everything, I can just wipe the sources and it'll be there in built form, right?
Yeah, in the live form. Yeah. So you can do cleanup and stuff like that later. Again, if it's not a package, it will probably have problems installing it when it comes to actually doing the install.
Oh, it's not like the thing where it's just the file system laid out and it just copies bit for bit. It's not actually that way.
Sort of. It gets a little squirrely. You have to be really cognizant of where you put it so it actually ends up where you want it in the install. So we'd have to finagle stuff into like the shared directories and stuff like that so that it actually copies it directly into the install. So I mean,
well, if I do the build so that they wind up in places like user local bin and stuff like that, it'll sort of be there, right? I mean,
in theory.
Okay, well, obviously I'm gonna have to do some testing on this, see what actually works and what doesn't.
Yeah, I think what we might have to provide is like a post install script that has to run. So that might be the very stretch goal, is getting it to work on the installed installation, and then you can have all that stuff already staged in a place that is copied, and then you can bring it over and then just basically run a post install script. And that might be what we have to do for all the web stuff, to make all the web stuff work as well.
Well, obviously you and I need to set up like a Discord session where we can work where you can walk me through some of this cubic stuff, because you have some knowledge that I do not. So.
So it's all trial and error. It's a lot of, okay, I'm building the ISO, I'll come back now, I install the ISO, and then, oh, okay, no, that didn't work. Let's go back and fix it. It is a bit of a process.
All right. Well, that's a pretty good list. I'm racking my brain trying to think if there's anything else we would want to throw in there just to have. But I do think the Ham Radio Pure Blend and the standard install covers a lot of bases.
Yeah, I mean, that gives most people a lot of stuff to try out on their systems, which is kind of the idea of this, is that, you know, you can see what you like and then install what you want. Obviously, I mean, I run an Arch system, so I don't have the Pure Blend to start with. So I just have installed what I want on my Arch system.
Right. Well, we're not getting people started with Arch, at least not yet. So.
No, maybe we'll have to do this in Nix next time, right? Keep up with all the Nix kids and have like a Nix flake or whatever they call it, so you can just double click and or whatever, install the flake, and it installs all of this ham radio software on the fly for you.
Yeah, maybe so.
But I'd have to get versed in that. I have not gotten onto the Nix train yet.
Nor have I. All right. Well, you know, feel free if people think of anything while we go through the what's left of the program here. If you got any other ideas of what we should consider throwing into the distribution, let us know. And of course, if you hear this after the live recording and you have some ideas as we work on creating these builds, definitely email or send us a voicemail so we can pursue what your options might be, what things you'd like to see in the base distro, and we'll get to it. And hopefully we've got what, a little less than 6 weeks, so surely we can make something happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that's all I got. So was it easy enough for it? Did we do it right?
Yeah, I think we covered the bases and kind of discussed some of the items that we want to. I mean, glad you already got SDR Angel kind of worked out, because that is a bear to get going.
It doesn't have a lot of packages, but if you look at the build script, you can see all the packages. But actually, I can't remember which one was hard. No, SDR Angel was definitely the more difficult one. SDR++ wasn't too bad. And SDR Trunk, like I said, I mean, probably just copying the binary is the way I want to go, but I would like to know how Gradle works and how to build it. So, but that's just
interesting try.
I'm most of the way there, and I'm on the Discord where there's support for SDR Trunk. So
I was just going to add, I know you're on a thread there. I don't want to bother your thread.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say between the support desk over at SDR Trunk and my own trial and error, I'm sure I'll get it worked out one way or the other. But anyway.
Yeah. So for Prism Launcher, I know currently we kind of isolate around Java 1.7. Is that right? Yeah.
17. 1.17.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. 17. It's just 17. OpenJDK
17. Yeah. But I think is 1.7, whatever they call it, 1.7. So we will have to have 19 installed as well, because the new version of Minecraft, I think they're pushing towards 19 for everything. So that'll be for the 21.21.0 or 120.0. four or five builds as well. Like if you're doing the daily builds, they want the new version of Java.
Right. That's fine. Because like SDR trunk uses 20. So there's going to be version too. So
so yeah, we'll have probably multiple runtime engines for Java installed in there for your various usages and stuff like that.
Yep. Probably defaulted to 119 or 19 for now.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, except for the version we play on, like 17, the best.
17, so. So we'll see how that goes. More stuff to figure out, I guess.
Yeah, little interesting idiosyncrasies to the versioning, what you have to have for each package and stuff.
Yeah, it's like the thing I was using today, that that alternate version of Minecraft that runs 1.7, that requires Java 8, so.
Oh yeah. If you run older versions of Java for older versions of Minecraft for various mod packs and stuff like that, you will have to install older versions of Java. Otherwise, you will not have any success in running that. A lot of the CTM maps and stuff like that are all on 118 as well, and they do require an older version of Java to be installed.
Java is so much fun. So anyway, yeah. Okay. Well, moving on, you know, please, again, like I said, let us know if you have any thoughts as we start rolling this out. So hopefully we'll have a nice coherent couple of ISOs built for Hamvention. So that would be nice.
Have you, Darren, speaking of the playing pack, have you played with the potato snapshot? Because they have a new sort of moving block that will move a whole set of blocks, and you can take like an entire island of stuff and move it across the map.
Nice.
If you haven't played with it, I suggest just loading it up and just kind of playing with it just for giggles on creative mode and see exactly. Because, normally these April Fool's packs that they put out always have like just some of the developers' weirdest ideas kind of all rolled into stuff. So it's stuff that's sort of on the cutting table and, out in the dev land of possibilities. That's why it's always fun to play the April Fool's packs for Minecraft, because you can see some stuff that, yeah, is definitely not mentioned in any instance of the game, but is very, very interesting in its usage.
Deer.
I mean, you can move obviously left and right with additional units, and then if you add multiple units, you can change the speed of it. So it's even more interesting.
Okay, well, we're not going to let this devolve into a Minecraft discussion. We can have that discussion on Minecraft. Yes. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get to our announcements and feedback. And we didn't have any feedback, at least not that I was able to get through my email to find. But I did want to, I've had some stuff in the back of my head regarding distribution of the show that I kind of want to make like a soft announcement on. I think due to potentially lack of interest and also trying to keep the database of size down of the website, I want to discontinue the feeds for Og and the specialized feed for the one that was the no music feed, the one that people pay for. It doesn't have like the intro and outro music and any interstitial audio and stuff like that. I think I'm going to discontinue those. I don't think they're super popular. The only reason we had an Og feed was because back in the day there was the MP3 licensing issue that is no longer a thing. Hasn't been a thing for quite some time. So I think I would encourage people to switch over to the MP3 feed which is the main feed. Cause I'm going to take the Og feed away and I'm going to take away the no music feed. However, that will still exist for Patreons. That's the feed you'll get if you're a Patreon. So if that is something you want, I would suggest signing up with Patreon and getting off of PayPal. For those people who are on PayPal, I don't think that feed has actually worked in quite some time, because I think the plugin stopped development, and I think it's all broken. So that needs to go. So if you want the no music feed, sign up on Patreon and cancel your PayPal, and just do it that way. It's a lot easier to integrate anyway. And what was the other thing? Oh, the live stream, the Icecast stream that we do or used to do when we recorded using Mumble, essentially that gets no use either now that we do the Discord thing. So the last couple of episodes, I have not started it up, and I don't plan to ever start it up again. So, so if you want to hear the live show, Discord is the way to do it. And then if you have any ideas
You probably got no feedback that it was off for the last two episodes.
I did not.
Most people will come in here if they want to listen to it live.
Yeah, and I definitely encourage that. Discord is the way to go for interaction with us. And if there's a podcast aggregator out there that we're not on, you know, I know we're on Amazon and Google and Podcast Alley and Apple and, you know, all those places. But if there's one that you know of that we're not on, please let me know and we'll get on it. And we'll try and keep current with all of the changes, like with Google and whatnot and YouTube Music and all that. That's all I've got about that. So there's just going to be one feed on the website, one RSS feed, which will be MP3 files. And if you want the no music version, then you must be a subscriber on Patreon. With that, I guess I'll let you handle the subscribers and supporters and live participants. Not a super long list tonight, so.
Alrighty. So, yeah, well, this episode we have no new subscribers or Patreons, but we do have some people over on Facebook. We have Bunny Lowell, Dragon Lewis, James Baker, Justin Keith, and 34 others, ... Yay, Facebook. Over on Twitter, X, we have nobody. On YouTube, we have William Large and Michael Edwards. On Discord, we have N3DFF. On Instagram, we have the Scott Fishman. On Mastodon, we have at KHRAT. No merchandise sales and no mailing list additions this week. And over on the live chat, we have David, KQ4PVF, Darren, VK6EK, Ted, WA0EIR, Mike, K6GTE, Winston, KD2WLL, Steve, KJ5T, and Gene, joining us from Taiwan, BX888D. Sir, BX8AAD. Yeah, there it is.
Very good.
Throwing an extra 8 in there.
All right. Well, that brings us down to the end of the show. Hopefully, we'll get all of this worked out in the next couple of weeks. We'll get these builds done, and we'll have some ISO files based on the latest edition of Ubuntu and Zubuntu available for making a copy or supporting us by picking up a USB stick at Hamvention. And if you can't get to Hamvention or you want to try one of these later, of course, they'll be available for download. And hopefully we'll get all of this software and all these cool features installed and you'll be able to have a nice live ISO experience or a decent installer for whatever machines you want to run your Shack stuff on. And in the meantime, thanks everybody for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope there was a little bit of information in there. And we hope you have a great week. And we look forward to seeing everybody we possibly can out at Hamvention in the middle of May. We're looking forward to it. We really are. I'm looking forward to just getting out of the house for a while. So hope to see you all there. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. This has been episode number 540 of Linux in the Ham Shack. And for the Honest Alignment, Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1-909-547-7469. That's 1-909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.